This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's get go around the NFL here in the loop, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Got extra game day tickets? Turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Town fans looking for seats. That's Q-U-I-C-K-A-S-Y-S-T. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. We begin with some huge, huge news from a game that happened yesterday between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cleveland Browns. The Chiefs get a victory 21-7, but it might be one of those Pyrrhic victories, one of those victories where you're like, ooh, but yeah, at what cost? Because Patrick Mahomes got injured in this game. His ankle kind of, you know, got rolled up a little bit. And the thing that I found wild about it, right? Because there's one thing. He seems like he largely, or no, he didn't finish out the game, right? Like in this.
No.
Sometimes, you know, on in those instances, you're like, all right, well, he'll be fine throughout the week. Ian Rappaport reported yesterday, literally the day it happened, and I'll read it verbatim. Mahomes, who left today's game early with the right ankle injury, is considered to be week to week, a source says, based on the preliminary diagnosis. X-rays were negative. More tests and info coming on Monday, which obviously is today. On the day of the injury, to immediately be like, yeah, that's week to week.
Yeah.
That feels like that cast real doubts on whether or not he will play, or whether he will play on Saturday when the Texans visit the Chiefs at Arrowhead.
Would you expect him to play?
I'm leaning towards no.
Like, I think he,
yeah, I think he playing.
I say no.
Like, I mean, I understand, really? There's the opportunity to shoot up. I remember last year he had one of those instances where he played hobbled and he just kind of made it shake, mm-hmm, or whatever. That feels like one that would be a little bit more reckless for a Kansas, mm-hmm, City Chiefs team that, I guess, they have a two-game lead on the Bills, but they don't have the tiebreaker, so they effectively have a one-game lead on the Bills. Mm-hmm. And I know that they want that home field and that bye in particular in a big way, so they probably want to keep playing for that. But also, all that's not going to matter if his leg fall off. Right. Like, I think that they have to be careful. And you know my general thought process on the day-to-day, week-to-week designations, mm-hmm, is that usually that means, like, okay, if it's day-to-day, then we're a few days, right? Yeah. If it's week-to-week, then it might be a few
then
weeks.
Then it's not this week.
Right, exactly.
You know, I agree with you.
Then go day-to-day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I got real concerns about him playing.
Short week.
Immediately going to that place, right? If it was one, it would be one thing if they had, like, we'll see, on Monday they look at and they go, yeah, maybe week to week. Like that, that's, I mean, still, I would have some concerns. But immediately they're like, yeah, I don't know about this one, big dog.
Yeah, no, look, short week, high ankle sprain or ankle sprain. I think we've seen conflicting reports. I don't know what the latest is, but we'll get more as the week progresses. But you're right. I mean, they have... That's a team that stated goal is three world championships in a row. They would love to have the home field advantage. So there is a certain amount of, you know, balance that Andy Reid and all the medical staff and athletic trainers and all that have to walk. But I think they're going to err to the side of caution.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But a good point comes in on the text line, 713. I'll take a banged up Mahomes versus this D-line and secondary. Like, that, I mean, that would still be something that would be preferable.
Yeah.
However, you know what I would take even more? Carson bleeping Wentz playing football. Because you know what he's going to do, if anything? He's going to give you some chances.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to give you some chances.
Sometimes he'll throw it right to you.
And you never want to see anyone get injured in particular, like in this very, very dangerous game, as we were talking about earlier. Right, we got a heavy dose of that with DeBose in this game, who, as you mentioned earlier, is, you know, he's still in Houston at the hospital, but he has movement in all his extremities and he is stable. So that is like something that is good. But man, this game really takes it out of you, right? And I mean, it's not out of just you, right? It takes it very much out of the players that play it, right? They're trading on their bodies, and so it gets a little uncomfortable. But with all that being said, that guy is a menace. And so to have him either limited or maybe not even in the game at all is quite a boost to the Texans, as was evidenced by Vegas, where the Kansas City Chiefs were, I believe, a three-point favorite at first. And then the news of Patrick Mahomes swung this thing about 6 points to where the Houston Texans are, in fact, three-point favorites in this game.
Yeah. And then there's a reason for that, because Vegas thinks the same thing we are, that they're going to err to the side of caution, and he will not play.
Yeah, so that was huge news on the day. Some other news in that game: Nick Chubb broke his foot, so that could be the last time he plays for the Browns, as he is veering towards a free agency stint. Jameis Winston was benched in that game. I know that hurts people's feelings for Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and Stefanski was noncommittal on where they're going forward there. So you might be done with Jameis for the year, which is kind of. I don't know. I was going to say kind of sad, but I don't know if it really matters that
kinda.
Much. But people found a little bit of joy in just seeing Jameis do his stuff.
He made the season a little better, I guess.
Yeah.
Some other things around the NFL. The hip drop tackles continue. Obviously, we saw one of those with Joe Mixon. It took him to the sideline, and that really stopped the game for a second, at least for Texans fans. The thing that was nice, though, once he popped up, he walked off on his own power. He went directly to the bench as opposed to the blue tent. Obviously, he ended up playing more in that game. But you had that, and then you also had a hip drop tackle on A.J. Brown in the game where that was the Pennsylvania State Championship of sorts between the Eagles and the Steelers. And the hip drop, we're not getting rid of this, are we?
First of all, they can't officiate it. There was one called yesterday, but there were at least a couple others that I saw, including the Joe Mixon one, that in real time, they can't officiate it. So I don't know what they're going to end up doing with this, because it is a dangerous play. I mean, everybody on both sides of the field, say it's of the line of scrimmage, say it's a dangerous play.
Yeah. And this is not to bring it back necessarily, but like this is what I was saying about the people that are like, oh, well, you need to add a different rule when it comes to the sliding and all the quarterback sliding early. And I'm like,
yeah,
but what happens if it, like, the rule is on the book, but it books, but it is not executed and officiated.
Yeah.
Right. There's a level of frustration. I think that's somewhat what we're getting here with the hip drop tackle. And even if you come back on the backside and find it, I do wonder if that is the prohibitive measure that you hoped it would be to stop those things from happening. Thankfully, did not hurt Joe Mixon in this instance, as last time it did. It took him away from this team for an extended period of time. So thankfully, he was good. I did mention that that Eagles-Steelers game. That game was a big one, and the Eagles got a 27-13 victory over the Steelers. And you hear that 27 points, like they were scoring, including the first touchdown of the game being from Hurts to A.J. Brown. So after the game, they went and did like a whole kid and play celebration, which I imagine was a very much a sign that we should all calm down. In fact, if you don't believe me, take it from A.J. Brown.
And after the touchdown, I know you guys have done it before, but was that kind of a good way to show people like,
all right, we're good? For sure. That was our moment to tell everybody, shut up.
Just shut up.
That's right. 290 yards in the air. Does this assuage any of your doubts about that offense or the Eagles or what they can do?
I think the Eagles, obviously the Eagles are in a good spot in terms of getting to the postseason, but they also had some, as we're seeing right now, they had some more disarray on the sideline.
Yes, they did.
And
yes, they did.
All kinds of other things going on. I'll put it this way. I don't trust the Eagles.
And I think that's fair, but my lack of distrust absolutely stems from the place that we're seeing on the TV. Yeah. Obviously, if you're listening, you can't see, but that's Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
I fully believe that Howie Roseman, the general manager and executive or whatever of the Eagles, took Nick Sirianni from being like more of a head coach to just being kind of a figurehead. Mm-hmm. When he went and he was like, look, we're going to get you a new offense coordinator and defense coordinator. Here is Kellen Moore for the offense. Here's Vic Fangio for the defense. They get to run their things. You just sit there and look pretty.
Yeah.
Like, I think that might be what the situation is. And he's out here trying to fire up his guys. I think Jalen Carter had a penalty where he slaps the helmet of one of those Steelers. And Nick Sirianni is going to go to the sideline and try and charge him up. And defensive line coach is like, oh, no, you're not. To my player.
No, you're not.
And that made me feel like, oh, he's not in charge of anything
down
here.
No, not at all. I mean, that defensive line coach, forget his name, but I mean.
I know Big Dom was over there.
Dom was over there,
what too. What we not going to do?
Yeah. I mean, it's figurehead. It's stand there and look pretty, like you said. But it's also just kind of the disarray is still in there. It's still within the organization.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, but the offense did seem to get on track. Those two, Hurts and Brown, connected 8 times for 110 yards. And the Eagles' passing attack had 290 yards for 2 touchdowns. And the Steelers had only been allowing, about 218 a game. So, there you go. Shout out to the Eagles, I guess. But more importantly, shout out to the Denver Broncos.
Indianapolis Colts.
Yes. The Indianapolis Colts lose 31-13 in what is what I have heard called as a pummeldrome. Are you familiar with the concept of a palindrome?
Oh, a palindrome.
Right, where it's a word spelt the same forwards and backwards. Yeah. 31-13 is a score spelt the same backwards and forwards, except in this instance.
You and the scores.
In this instance,
what is wrong with you, man?
It is somebody getting their ass beat. And in this instance, that was the Colts. What was interesting about this is that they had a lead early and they had an opportunity to put this
up. They were going up 20-7.
They would have if Jonathan Taylor would hold the football. He has a huge play down the right sideline, and as he is about to cross into the end zone, he drops the football, and that turns the football over. And then the Broncos, who had 3 interceptions to that point, then start scoring a whole bunch of points. They ultimately win the game as evidence there. And that secures the AFC South, along with the Texans' victory for the Houston Texans, which is the 8th AFC South title since 2011 for the Texans. And the rest of the teams in the division since that time have only had 6.
Yeah, more than everybody else. But everybody's saying it. Everybody's playing it. Everybody's talking about it. But it's so true. How in the world does this happen?
It happened twice this week, mind you, because there was that
the guy
Taylor,
from Cleveland.
And then, the Bengals also had
Bengals,
one.
Bengals.
Yeah. And
how?
I don't.
Just take one more step before you kind of casually throw the ball.
The Bengals player, I think he was trying to switch hands for some reason.
And it just sort of whipped.
And it slipped out of his hands, which, I mean, at that point, just get in the end zone, big dog.
Yeah,
the one where you just let it drop. What is so cool a Cavalier about this, dog? Like, Why?
And that's exactly what it is. They're trying to be like cool, like this was so easy. I'm just going to go ahead and drop the ball. Well, you dropped it before the end zone line, and the Colts also bleeped the bet on this stupid back pass that ended up being a pick six.
That was who threw that pass? I remember who did, but Nick Bonito.
Was it Mitchell?
Yes, it was A.D. Mitchell. Shot H Town. He tried to throw it back to Anthony Richardson. And Nick Bonito was like, thank you, I will take this.
Dude, that was the easiest pick six you'll ever see.
That was so easy. So shout out to the Colts who allowed the Texans to pull within one of AFC South titles. Colts have 9 total since the AFC South has been.
Peyton Manning has.
Peyton Manning has a majority. I think Peyton Manning had 7 of those, and then the other 2 were Andrew Luck years.
Yeah.
But because obviously since 2011, they ain't been doing a lot of that. But yeah, back-to-back titles. Actually, I shouldn't be the one to say that. Can you help me out right here, Fig? I feel like there's one person in particular who should be shouting that out. The computer.
2 years in a row, Brian. AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like.
That's right.
Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
He says it with such anger. Looking forward to the playoffs.
That's right. So shout out to the Colts for helping.
Didn't mean to interrupt.
Didn't mean to interrupt.
Yes, you did.
It's not a big man touchdown, but I feel like we should just talk about a big man. Did you see T'Vondre Sweat?
Oh, boy.
I know he played for...
I was rooting for him.
Did
I? I'm like, go all the way, man.
But T'Vondre Sweat ends up with the football, and I don't know that I've seen a big man look so so fluid.
You haven't.
With the football.
Yeah.
And when I say big man, I do indeed mean
365?
Big man. 365? That is 366, I think, technically, is the list.
I don't know if that's even accurate. It might be a little more than that.
He stiff-armed a lineman.
Yeah.
Like, who does that? Right? Like, who? An offensive lineman, no, sit down.
That was my favorite play of the day, bar none. Like, not even. I saw it, like, moments after it happened on Twitter, and I'm showing all you guys in the. But look at this. Not only the stiff arm. He got to the sideline. It looked like he was about ready to start high-stepping, man. Go full Dion.
Yeah.
But going down the sideline, and he was mobbed by his teammates. That was awesome.
Is there any way T'Vondre Sweat, like, played running back
in
Pee Wee football or something like
that? For sure.
And then I immediately go to the place. Those poor children that had to play against them. Like, I always think about that with any of these great athletes. Like, there was a point in time where we had regular human beings competing against them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not fair. Imagine now, T'Vondre, I don't know how big he was, but I have a strong feeling if you're 366 now, you've been big for at least a decent amount of time.
Yes, your entire life.
You got close. There was a certain point in time where people were like, hey, we might have to check the birth certificate on this because this does not look like it's kosher.
Oh, he had his birth certificate checked multiple times. And the other thing about the run, like, he had it high and tight.
Yes.
Man. He had the nose of the ball covered, had it high and tight. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So shout out to T'Vondre Sweat. The only Titan that I'll give praise to this week.
Yeah, me too.
That's right. Shout out to that. And one more thing, just because I know you love it so much. The Bills boat raced the Lions in what was a really interesting football game. There were some more things that were interesting details within that. But the big thing that I just wanted to let you know about that 48-42 score is that...
Nope.
It's a score of Gabby, baby!
Oh, goodness.
The 190th unique score. No!
I think you're just making this
up. You can go to, what is it, NFLScoreOfGabby.com.
That's a score of Gabby. 14-7? Yeah, that's a score of Gabby.
That's called NFLScoreOfGabby.org.
That's what it is.
That's a score of Gabby.
It was the 190th unique final score in NFL history. It had never happened before, that score line.
I think you're lying. I think you're lying. And...
Hey, pop off football, Pro Football Reference. Go ahead and check them all for you.
And... Thank you, Dan Campbell, not just for the dumbest play of the day, trying to kick an onside kick with 10 plus, almost 11 minutes on the clock, and you're only down 10 points. When they know, obviously in the fourth quarter, you have to announce that you're doing an onside kick. But then proving yet again why this term, this phrase, is an absolute cop-out. Cop-out.
Well, I thought we'd get the possession, you know. I thought we'd get that ball. And... one of Bates' best kicks that I've seen him have. That was a big kicker at the end. You know, I think took a good jump on us, and Hollis made a heck of a play on it. And, you know, obviously now sitting here hindsight after been taking it down to the 3 yard line, yeah, I wish I would have done that. But it is what it is.
Oh, stop!
It is what it is.
Stop. It is what it is.
That's the perfect example. When you don't want to answer a question, when you feel cornered and you feel like you're
that
done.
That was not being cornered.
He answered the question.
He already answered the question.
He just said it is what. That's the biggest cop out.
It wasn't a cop out.
He gave a full blown answer.
He did
this,
not.
This was like a 20-second answer.
No, and he gave it. He took responsibility.
Yeah,
and he said that
he said, "What? Well, take it back."
He answered all the questions. You just mad that he has come to peace.
It is with what it is.
It is what it is. You
the
can't
hell
change
out of here
it.
With that.
You'll hear. We'll come back to that particular play again later. By the way, the Lions, obviously, you know, they lose that game. It felt very evident that they are injured as all hell.
They're in trouble now.
They lost three dudes in that, and possibly for the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive tackle, Aleem McNeil, I think it's Khalil, what's the cornerback there, and then Carlton Davis also, mm-hmm. Who, by the way, hurt his jaw. That's got to be a terrible way to go. But yeah,
the Lions lost Montgomery too.
Lions are hurting.
Yeah.
Hurting. All right. Yeah, that's Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's circle back around to your AFC South champion, Houston Texans, who hooped in this 20-12 victory over the Miami Dolphins. Let's give some appreciation to the fine folks that were playing well. We'll do it next.
AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.